The United States and Iran are set to resume indirect talks in Geneva today. The backdrop looks more like war than peace, with the largest U.S. military buildup in the region since the Iraq War. A drawn-out regional war is not a foregone conclusion, but uncertainty about the Trump administration's objectives and the reasons behind them could hamper a diplomatic resolution, Howard LaFranchi writes. Our columnist Ned Temko, meanwhile, looks at U.S. President Donald Trump's dramatic break with his predecessors over how to wield military power, and why a more limited use of force may appeal to him. Relatedly, our editorial examines the potential pros and cons of American diplomacy, led by people who aren't career diplomats, but have the trust of the president. It's Thursday, February 26th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Bryant. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi arrived in Israel. His two-day visit is meant to deepen cooperation between the two countries. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warmly welcomed Mr. Modi Wednesday, and members of the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, later applauded him. The trip highlights how India, which historically aligned itself with the Palestinian cause, has grown much closer with Israel under Mr. Modi and his Hindu nationalist government. The countries have cooperated extensively on counterterrorism, and India is the largest importer of Israeli arms. The United States Department of Justice is suing the University of California, Los Angeles. The lawsuit, filed Tuesday, alleges that the university failed to protect Jewish employees from anti-Semitism on campus during pro-Palestinian demonstrations in 2023 and 2024. It is the Trump administration's latest move against the University of California after UCLA refused to pay a $1 billion fine to the DOJ to end the department's investigation into the school's handling of anti-Semitism. In 2025, UCLA agreed to a $6.45 million settlement with three Jewish students and a professor who sued the school regarding Palestinian encampments on campus during the protests. Also, Mexico will start reducing its work week to reach 40 hours by 2030 in a reform passed unanimously by legislators on Wednesday. Mexico has one of the longest workdays among Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development nations. The reform is considered a win for President Claudia Sheinbaum Pardo's leftist party, Morena. Critics say it will undercut productivity and that it is not a true reduction as it increases weekly overtime and only enshrines one day off per 6 days worked. Pedro Aces, a Morena representative, said in a post on the social media platform X that Mexico is moving toward becoming a country where work is not only dignified, but people are able to live better. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. President Donald Trump's brief mention of Iran in his State of the Union address was still short of a complete argument for how and why striking Iran, which would risk a wider Middle East conflict, would further U.S. interests. Howard LaFranchi reports from Washington for the Monitor. President Trump says he's deciding whether to take military action against Iran. Some members of Congress say a president isn't the only decision-maker on the use of force, and they want to vote on the War Powers Resolution. Caitlin Babcock reports for the Monitor. A Trump proposal could help close the retirement gap for millions of private sector, part-time, and low-income workers without employer-sponsored plans. Like a similar Biden-era effort, the president's plan offers a federal match to boost retirement security. Laurent Velsey reports for the Monitor. The American president has rewritten how the United States uses its military power. The new strategy may help explain his approach to Iran as the U.S. builds up firepower in the Middle East. Ned Temko writes from London for the Monitor. some prominent U.S. universities are paring back campus spending in response to endowment tax hikes passed by Congress and the Trump administration's drive to reform higher education. Ivor Porter reports for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on testing a different style of diplomacy. Two sets of peace negotiations are scheduled for Thursday in Geneva: direct talks between the United States and Ukraine, and indirect talks, mediated by Oman, between the U.S. and Iran. The parallel assemblies are likely to place strong demands on the multitasking skills of U.S. envoys Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, and to underscore the potential pros and cons of practicing diplomacy through special envoys chosen from outside the ranks of traditional career diplomats. The ability to seize a historical moment in international events is a critical skill, according to Stuart Eisenstadt, former U.S. ambassador to the European Union. At the same time, he cautioned in an interview with Tufts University's Fletcher School, "Be wary of going for home runs. Don't try to get too much. Instead, go for singles and doubles." Patience, persistence, creativity, flexibility, and a willingness to listen are some of the qualities that undergird successful diplomacy. Mr. Witkoff and Mr. Kushner, friend and son-in-law of President Donald Trump, respectively, likely demonstrated these in some measure during the complex process of brokering last October's ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war in Gaza. Now they are seeking to end another war and prevent the start of a new one. In this, they have an advantage over career diplomats, a personal relationship with the leader of the world's most powerful country. In addition, their outsider experience can bring fresh perspectives to long-standing diplomatic issues. But the equally long-standing practice of U.S. presidents naming friends to high-profile diplomatic roles can also complicate diplomacy. In recent months, non-career ambassadors in France, Belgium, and Poland have riled their hosts with disregard for diplomatic protocol or impolitic public statements. And critics point to Mr. Kushner's business ties in the Middle East as a potential conflict of interest. "These are reasonable questions," Daniel Shapiro, former U.S. ambassador to Israel, told NPR. But, he noted, Mr. Kushner's regional relationships are what helped produce a result fairly quickly that brought about the good outcome in Gaza. Mr. Kushner also promoted ties between Israel and Arab nations through helping to forge the 2020 Abraham Accords. In many regions of the world, developing trust systematically over years, rather than scoring quick wins, is preferred. In the Gulf, according to analyst Nikolai Mladenov of the Washington Institute, there is a profound cultural inclination toward fostering enduring relationships to resolve conflicts, which speaks to how the small country of Oman has established itself as a trusted mediator. Lawrence Pevsner, a scholar at the City College of New York, points to the example of Benjamin Franklin, arguably one of the most successful U.S. diplomats. Over a period of several years and some setbacks, Franklin negotiated essential financial and material support from France during the Revolutionary War, and also went on to broker a peace agreement with Britain. "Countries don't do diplomacy, people do," is how Mr. Pevsner puts it. The impressions and relationships individuals make can start a war or end one. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how Christ reveals to each of us the divine blessing of our Heavenly Father's healing love. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone, Mackenzie Farkas, and Audrey Thiebert.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.